What you're about to hear was aired on Planet Philadelphia, environmental radio show on Germantown Community Radio, 92.9 FM, WGGTLP in Philadelphia, and on gtownradio.com.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning into Planet Philadelphia. I'm Kay Wood, the host of Planet Philadelphia. Linda Rosenwein, our assistant producer reporter, is here with me, and we're on a call with Pennsylvania State Senator Nikhil Saval. Hi, Senator. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
We wanted to talk about a new program called the Whole Home Repair Program, but before we do that, could you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm a state senator representing the first Senate district. So it's all of Center City, South Philadelphia, east of Broad Street, the River Ward, so Fishtown, parts of Kensington and Port Richmond, and the Philadelphia Airport. So also parts of Eastwick and FDR Park in South Philadelphia. I live in Queen Village with my wife and two young children, 4 and 2. And I've been in office since 2021. Before that, I was a journalist for my day job. I wrote about housing, architecture, and design for a number of publications, and also worked in Philadelphia as a volunteer in community and labor organizing. And then was the founder of a progressive organization called Reclaim Philadelphia in 2016, and was deeply involved in issue-based organizing and electoral politics up until my own campaign in 2020. And so that's me, and that's how I kind of come to this work.
Okay. Linda, do you want to start off?
Yeah. What is the Whole Home Repair Program for people who don't know?
Great question. The Whole Home Repairs Program was created last year. So I introduced a bill in the Senate last year in March, which was the Whole Home Repairs Act. And the idea was to create a state resource to fund home repairs, to fund county level coordination with existing home repair programs, and to fund job training for people to get into doing home repairs in the state of Pennsylvania. And in the course of researching and developing this bill, we learned that the problem of being able to stay in your homes is endemic across the state of Pennsylvania. There's some 200,000 or more than that homes that have moderate to severe physical inadequacies. And so what that means is that you might lack adequate plumbing or any plumbing at all, like the lack of a flushing toilet. You lack adequate heat or any heat at all, even the dead of winter. Your roof leaks. You have changing physical needs or have a disability so that you're unable to, move about your home freely. You have high utility burdens because you have deeply energy inefficient appliances. And so that leads to, costs that ultimately exceed what you're able to pay. And all of that can lead to someone ultimately losing their home. And that can be true in urban areas or rural areas. It's common across the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, it's very similar in urban and rural areas. And so there's no real statewide structure that can remedy this problem. And it leads to lots of people abandoning their homes. And in Philadelphia, that can look like gentrification, where people abandon their homes. It's bought by someone. They demolish the home, put up something much more expensive and new, and that leads to the overall displacement in any given area. Or in a rural area, that can look like, overall abandonment. You see that in old coal towns and steel towns and the things like that. And so the Whole Home Repairs Program does three things to begin to remedy this problem. It provides funding up to $50,000 in the form of a grant for homeowners, and in the form of a forgivable loan for small landlords to make basic repairs to your home. And that includes all the things that we're talking about: changing physical needs, energy inefficiency, a leaky roof. It does a second thing, which is it provides money to counties, so to Philadelphia County, to Lackawanna County, every county that has applied for the program, to get staff to help you coordinate with existing programs. So we actually have a lot of existing home repair programs in the state that are federal, you know, for example, weatherization assistance. You can get adaptive modifications through your home through Medicare or Medicaid. But if you're an individual homeowner, you may have immense trouble just navigating all of those programs and what how to access them in the right order. So it's meant to help you basically find your way through them to get your home repaired through whole home repairs and then access, you know, adaptive modifications through Medicare or Medicaid, for example. And the third thing that it does is it funds job training because this is a growing industry. We need people to be involved in construction and home repairs. These are great jobs, but we lack capacity. We need more and more people employed in the programs, even just for the existing home repair programs that we have. We lack the number of people. And so it helps fund free apprenticeship programs, cash stipends for job trainees to get into energy efficiency, home repair programs and the like. So it's a kind of full circle. It funds the repairs and it gets people into jobs to do the repairs. And we introduced this bill in March of 2022. And after an extensive campaign statewide, you know, having rallies in a number of different counties, blue counties, red counties, and, you know, really organizing within the General Assembly, we were able to get that bill adopted as part of the budget negotiation in July of 2022. So in a few months, we got the bill passed into law and the Whole Home Repairs Act became the Whole Home Repairs Program and was funded with an initial appropriation of $125 million that came through federal money, I should point out, the American Rescue Plan Act, which was, you know, passed under President Biden. So that's what it does at a state level, and that's how we were able to get it done.
You just mentioned the $125 million initial funding. That sounds like a lot of money, but in this sort of size of a program, that's not all that much money. So do you expect to have further funding?
It's a very great point. $125 million is $125 million more than the state has devoted to this resource for generations. And for some counties, this is, you know, Philadelphia is receiving over $20 million. Other counties are receiving, you know, varying funds based on need and population. But it's true that the need is enormous. We are in our office alone have received 6,000 phone calls just once the program was announced because there was so much desire and need for it. And this is only beginning to kind of meet that need. So we're in the moment seeking recurring sustainable funding in the current round of budget negotiations to ensure that we grow this program over time, that more and more homes are repaired, that more and more people are trained, and that we, you know, that we make this a real feature of the landscape in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I think that it's right now we know that it's inspiring other efforts. There was a whole home repairs bill introduced in the Maryland legislature, which is modeled on ours. There was some discussion in the U.S. Senate by one of our senators in Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, about possibly doing a federal introduction of whole home repairs. So there is some desire to do more at every possible level. But we're intent on ensuring that it's sustainable in Pennsylvania.
Because it's limited money, at least to start with, is it what first come, first serve? How does that work out? Because $50,000 times how many people, you know, doesn't go that far.
Yeah. So every county is going to do it slightly differently. I mean, they're within certain guidelines in terms of how they target the amount of funding. But I should point out, for example, that $50,000 is the state guidelines of what you're able to go up to. Not every house will have that amount of need, you know, or not every kind of homeowner will receive that amount of repair work or tenant, you know. So I think it there are ways to make those dollars work for as many people as possible under the current constraints of how much funding there is.
This bill is designed to address a number of needs. It's to address affordability, keeping people in their homes, also to address energy efficiency. So that kind of goes towards addressing climate change. I mean, it's like a lot of things in one bill. Do I have that right?
That's right. We did want to tackle those crises, and in particular the affordable housing crisis and our climate crisis at once. A lot of our greenhouse gas emissions come from buildings. In Philadelphia, it's the majority of our greenhouse gas emissions come from our buildings, not just homes, to be clear, but just from our infrastructure. So we have an enormous need to reduce our energy use overall, and of course also green our existing housing and building stock and reduce our reliance on fossil fuels or eliminate it. The bill basically makes it possible for people to use less energy, and to use it more efficiently. And it may enable a number of other things as well. I mean, we have a number of tools through the Inflation Reduction Act to adopt energy efficient appliances and to have rebates for heat pumps, electric heat pumps and the like. The bill itself doesn't direct you to those things. The IRA passed after the Whole Home Repairs Bill passed. But one thing I want to point out is like any given county can make those things complementary. We want whole home repairs. We wanted it to be designed to have other programs layered onto it so that you make a home habitable, you make it energy efficient. We have so many houses with knob and tube wiring, which is something you'd have to take care of before you do anything with regards to high efficiency electric appliances and the like. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done prior to any other kind of retrofit activity. So all of that is kind of there in whole home repairs.
I guess what you're implying, since every county is going to do it differently, is what hoops you have to go through, the paperwork and so forth, will depend on the county.
So, yeah, to some degree, you're meant to kind of stay within state guidelines in terms of how much paperwork you're required. We want to reduce the burden as much as possible. But ultimately, there is stuff we can do at a state level to make it less cumbersome. A process. I mean, it's built into the bill to, the staffing component, right, to make it less cumbersome to make existing programs work in a way that they didn't before, to make weatherization assistance, which seals up your building envelope, helps, improve energy efficiency. We have a lot of homes that aren't eligible for the program because they have pre-existing deferred maintenance issues. So right now we want to clear those wait lists. We want people to get their homes repaired and weatherized. And the overall intent of the bill is to make it easier. If we find that there are problems with how the implementation is being worked out, we'll revisit it, next year. Or as soon as possible, I would say. Yeah.
Back to addressing a number of things, I would think if people have leaky roofs and it gets fixed and they're not having to spend so much on utilities and the quality of life they live and their health would be better.
Yeah, there are a lot of implications for indoor air quality, for, one of the things that the bill directly enables is treatment for lead and mold and things like that. We have a lot of unremediated lead out in the state of Pennsylvania in our homes. We have mold is a constant issue. These are things that have huge implications for health. There are other kinds of associations, not just with health, but with anti-violence. There have been studies that show that home repair programs, like for example, there was a study done by the University of Pennsylvania, which suggests that a single home repaired on a block could reduce incidents of violence and crime in a surrounding area by about 22%. And so that's just a single repair. So, if you can imagine that you scale that up, it has enormous implications for, how we treat the root causes of violence. And it's not surprising, I think, if you think about it, that community stability and being able to stabilize one's home life also has effects for how people, what they're able to do in the world, right? And what they're able to have stable employment, to have other kinds of resources, et cetera. So it has a number of different public health and, anti-violence implications.
Well, that's very interesting. I hadn't thought about the violence angle of it. You mentioned about some of the benefits that would come for the people who are living in the homes and I guess the neighborhoods, but it seems like it would have a benefit in that part of the program is to train people for good, sustainable jobs. And that also seems like that could be a benefit across the state.
Absolutely. You know, in researching this bill, and it's just important to note that a lot of what the bill does is kind of fill gaps in existing infrastructure, in gaps in home repair funding, gaps in that, you know, assistance in navigating existing programs. And the other gap is the workforce one, where even for the, again, the federal weatherization assistance program, we don't have the administrators of that program throughout the state, which just received a huge infusion of new funding through the Infrastructure and Jobs Act. There's just a lack of a trained workforce. We need more workers in the industry. And one reason that people don't find their way into it, and these are, again, good jobs, as you point out, they are, there are a lot of training facilities, weatherization and things like it. People don't have access necessarily to stipends to get through the program, so they can't pay for childcare in order to make their way through the training program. So they start to drop off or not make it through. And so just having an additional resource in order to ensure that people make their way through the programs and then get put into an industry into the home repair workforce that we are also helping to fund on the other side, right? To help to actually increase the amount of homes that are getting repaired. You know, that's hugely important. And these are skills that are in some ways transferable to things outside specifically home repair.
Are there other benefits?
I don't want to overstate this. We're starting a program, right? We're like, mm-hmm. It is seeded with $125 million. But in terms of the cycle of people repairing essentially homes and communities in and around where they live, the idea, for example, Philadelphians getting trained to repair homes in Philadelphia and stabilize working class communities in Philadelphia, you know, then means that these homes can be transferred to the next generation, increasing the possibility of passing on generational wealth. So much of people's kind of livelihoods is actually stored in their homes. And if you lack the ability to, as has been true for many, especially, you know, communities of color in Philadelphia, like have been unable to get access to credit and to make that handoff, as it were, we hope to remedy that as well. So I think that's also part of the kind of vision, I think, at the heart of whole home repairs.
Often in our state, as in our nation, there's a real polarization that goes on politically. And this is an example where that is not happening. You gave some reasons for why that was, but I'm wondering how you see going forward in this and other programs that where people could work together, at least in our state.
It's a great point. I mean, we found a lot of receptivity to whole home repairs. You know, I'm a Democrat from Philadelphia, but among rural Republicans, in part because they actually quite quickly recognized the problem. And in some ways, we're already aware of it. And we're happy to see a proposed solution that made sense to them. So I worked very closely with a Republican who represents at least partly, he's based in Schuylkill County, David Argel, who, you know, he has old kind of coal communities there where abandonment is a big issue. And I think he saw this as kind of intervening in that cycle of abandonment, you know, to stabilize the community, to improve surrounding property values, et cetera. I mean, there's just ways to ensure that a community stays whole. I mean, it's one part of that strategy. And ultimately, the state has to deal with the question of an abandoned home one way or the other. Land banks have to deal with, have to take them in. They have to demolish the home. This all costs somebody somewhere quite a lot of money. And ultimately that falls on the state of Pennsylvania. So it is an instance in which the issues are felt to be the same. You know, the kind of triggers are felt to be the same across political geographies. And I think there are other things like that. And housing is a big one. Housing is, I think, a big issue, not just home repairs, but housing in general is a big issue across political geographies and boundaries. But, you know, I think as we start to see different kinds of resources coming in for, frankly, even for fighting climate change, there are interests across the state that want to see new industries be born. They certainly wouldn't necessarily reject the idea of installing a new solar array and having the jobs associated with it, as much as it has become a subject of a kind of culture war. As it becomes harder and harder to push that future off, I would suggest that you start to see more kind of adoption and interest across political boundaries. Ultimately, I think people want material improvement for their communities. We have a number of communities across the state that are seeing depopulation and, you know, and decline. And maybe there are new ways to reverse that by embracing new industries that have, frankly, major benefits for our, you know, our state and the planet overall. So I'm hopeful about alliances or like nexus of infrastructure and the environment. However many roadblocks it has encountered in the past, I think that still offers kind of the greatest formula for collaboration and changes in political perspective.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell people?
Just say, write to your state legislator if you're interested in whole home repairs funding, continuing and growing the program. We started it in Pennsylvania. It is being adopted elsewhere and is, you know, had a chance to go to the White House to speak about the program. We need it to be sustained and to continue. So we just, you know, encourage everyone to contact their legislators to ensure that they, you know, to ensure that they know that you care about whole home repairs.
This might be off topic a little bit, but I know that housing is one of the biggest issues this country is facing. Since that has been an interest of yours for a while, what would you say that we need to do?
There are a lot of different things that we need to do to tackle our housing crisis. I mean, there is, to name a handful of different things. I mean, we've been talking here about the preservation part of it, right? About preserving, you know, existing homes on the private market. But there is existing affordable housing that have limited kind of windows for when you have subsidized housing that are expiring, you know, that have expiring subsidies. We saw that in Philadelphia with the University City townhomes, where they had a contract with the Housing and Urban Development that expired. And so we need to be able to find tools to preserve that existing affordable housing. We need to be building far more than we are building. We have a kind of limited subsidy through the low-income housing tax credit, have not built enough public housing, as you know, basically in years. And so we need a major supply side intervention as well in affordable housing. And even overwhelmingly, we have like a housing crisis that is just for units, even at a market rate level. In the Philadelphia suburbs, for example, we're just building far less housing than we should be at every level to accommodate the number of people that are moving into the region. And actually in Philly, we've done a decent job recently in improving the amount of like housing that we're building, but we need more across the region. And sometimes people are restricted by zoning, you know, and other kinds of exclusions that basically make it harder to build housing of any kind. I mean, but really, especially like apartments, affordable apartments, what have you. So attacking that issue is something that is long overdue. And then that's just that's all on the supply side. We need to be helping tenants. We have a majority renter city in Philadelphia. We have limited tools to help renters just avoid drastic rent increases, to avoid eviction. We had some pioneering tools that were adopted during the pandemic. But, you know, I think we should really be considering ways to prevent rent gouging from, there's nothing really to prevent massive increases in people's rent. We have a just cause or good cause eviction bill. I think we need a stronger one. Frankly, we need people to have more access to counsel in the case of eviction. And, you know, these are things that we could be doing across the state as well. I proposed a few other bills in my time in the legislature. One is to prevent people from discriminating against reentering citizens, that is people with criminal records, from accessing housing, which you're allowed to do right now. You may have served your time, but you then are unable to find stable housing because of your record. It's a civil rights violation, according to me. It's not, but not in law. And we want to make it, the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, make that able to be something that can be stopped as a form of discrimination. Also, if you have an eviction notice filed against you in the state of Pennsylvania, you will have a mark on your record in most data sets that landlords use to screen tenants, even if you aren't evicted. And so you could not be evicted, but have an eviction filing on your record. And so someone will screen for, you know, a data set as a landlord, and they'll see, oh, you had an eviction filed against you. I don't think we're going to accept you as a tenant. That's evict tens of thousands of people. So we want to steal those records in Pennsylvania and make it so that it's not counted against you. Again, if you're not evicted, you shouldn't have a record. And so we feel like that's another bill that is common sense that would help people find stable housing. So there are lots of big picture things that we can be doing. We've proposed a few smaller changes that I think would nonetheless affect a lot of people, but there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do, to say nothing of the overall picture of ensuring that all that housing that is built or preserved is as green and as possible and you know, as close to zero emissions as possible.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
If you want to know more about Planet Philadelphia, go to planetphiladelphia.com. You could also find out more about other G-Town Radio programming by going to gtownradio.com. I hope you will consider making a small monthly donation to help Planet Philadelphia continue presenting interviews on important underreported environmental topics and exploring their complexities and intersections. Thank you so much for your support.